on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
Here we are once again, another week of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And my name is Rich.
Now, I think I'm the only one here who's getting the swine flu. Is that right?
So, at the beginning of the show, you're the only one getting the swine flu.
Thus far. It turns out that apparently at PAX, there was at least one confirmed case of...
That's exciting.
Of the swine flu.
You know, every time you say that, I just think of a disease. Maybe you should tell everybody what PAX is.
PAX, the Penny Arcade Expo, where I was this past weekend.
Yeah.
So, like, we're not even kidding. If you go to Penny Arcade's website, they mention it. So that's kind of crazy. What's crazier is that yesterday, Josh, who was there with us, was sick enough to not attend a little shindig we had. I, today, am starting to get sick. And while we were there, I know Michaela was sick as well.
Okay, and what's even crazier than that is we're basically in a hermetically sealed room for the next hour.
Isn't that awesome?
That's fantastic. I've washed my hands about four times so far in the past.
And I had him turn down the ventilation because it was too cold in here.
You know, swine flu isn't that bad. I mean, it's a good thing the 1918 flu wasn't traveling around because it's like everybody would be dead.
You can sit next to Alon and block the swine flu so I don't have to take it.
I can do that.
Well, right now I still feel pretty good, but it's one of those things where... Since the beginning of the day, I've felt myself progressively get worse, and I'm fearful that in the next couple of days, I'm going to be laying in bed, skipping work, and just praying to all sorts of gods that I don't normally pray to.
Well, as long as it's just you.
Yeah.
And not me.
All right, so, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that I guess I could talk about at PAX if I had done them. It kind of sucked, though. Like, I didn't go to any real sessions. I went to one session. The one session I went to. Rich, what was the one session I went to?
Did you go to the Hey Ash, What You Playing thing?
That's the one I went to, sir.
How was it?
I talked to him, by the way. He's going to come on the show sometime. At least he pretended that he would.
Revant?
Yeah.
So who's this? The character from Pokemon or a real-life person?
It's funny because, like, you know all this stuff about game design, and then we bring up some, like, more modern, maybe pop culture thing, and you have no idea what we're talking about.
Of course, I have no idea.
You're kind of like the old
about.
Grandpa who doesn't know what's going on.
I'm just saying, like, when you asked him to come on the show and he seemingly accepted, does he realize he can't swear on the radio?
I didn't mention that part.
Okay.
But I did mention it's radio.
I think maybe he would be smart enough to assume that, because he's a pretty intelligent person.
Even when we get him in the studio, I'll just make sure Norm is ready with the button.
Stay ready with the button.
And then anytime he swears, he waits 7 seconds before doing it again.
Okay. Well, there's only two characters that I know that are named Ash, and one of them's Pokemon, and the other one...
We're talking about Anthony. Ash is Anthony's sister, and they do this thing that they pronounce Hope, and everyone else seems to pronounce Hop. H-A-W-P.
They say Hope?
Yeah, they pronounce it Hope.
It's definitely Hop.
Listen, man, I'm just telling you how they pronounce it.
Does it have the diacritic thing or whatever it's called?
I don't know what that is, but it's just a viral video thing online.
You know who these people are. I showed you the review thing they did for the one...
All my technology runs on potatoes.
Do you remember
you
on YouTube how they recreated the Mad Dog McCree?
Yeah.
Oh,
they
yes.
did that review.
That so was a Hey Ash, What You Playing offshoot thing.
Okay. That's all.
And so they're from Phoenix. So I asked him to come down, but it was a very brief. He walked by out of the expo hall as we were standing by the exit trying to convince people to go to our show, which happened after the expo hall closed. And I only realized it was him. Like, as he walked by, and I, like, leaned, or I turned around, swung my arm out, and just grabbed his arm like I was ready to punch him or something.
That's probably how you got the swine flu.
Yeah, and I was just like, hey, I wanted to introduce myself, because there were way too many people at your panel. I didn't get a chance to talk to you. And I explained, like, I'm from Phoenix, and we want to get him on the show and
That's
whatever.
That's great.
So,
was he about to punch you before you started
talking? No, he was really accommodating, but it might have been just out of fear. I don't know.
Out of fear. Grabbing his arm. Hey!
Yeah.
I want to introduce myself.
Hey, you!
Actually, that reminds me of the most insanely geeky thing I ever did at a con was it was the first anime expo I ever went to. It wasn't anime expo, it was an anime convention. Okay. Actually, it was called Anime West. It was like
1994. For the record, I don't know the difference between an expo and a convention.
1994. No, there's actually a con called Anime Expo, which it wasn't. Okay. Anyway, this is like 1994, right? Like my first freshman year in college.
Oh, right? You're 18?
Yeah, 18. I was 18. Christ, okay. So... I go and I'm looking through this guy's stuff, and this is when I was like an insane fanboy about this video game series called YS, which is
Y-S.
Right.
Yeah, totally played it on TurboGrafx CD.
Yeah, so I was like, the biggest fanboy of that whole thing. I dedicated my college life to creating and maintaining a web page for that in the early days of the internet.
Well, that's sad.
But anyway, I digress. Basically, I saw this guy holding a copy of YS 4, which is really like, you know, this was like gold to me, right?
Because it was some special guy holding it, or because you couldn't get a copy of that game?
No, because it was an import game, and I guess it recently came out at the time, and that was it.
Okay, right.
So I take the game, I snatch it from his hands, and I go, oh, like literally just like that. And he just looks at me. Also, I hadn't showered that day.
Ah, very nice.
So
that's the icing.
And so it took me about 3 seconds to realize what I was actually doing. And then so like I basically just like took my hand back and like replaced the game into his hands, which hadn't moved since then, and just profusely apologized and just walked back in shame.
So do we know who this guy was?
So you
just some random
that.
Dude?
No, he was just some random Asian guy.
Okay.
Just some random dude. You're just like, oh.
Yeah, I just grabbed, you know.
All right.
So you couldn't have done worse
nice.
Than that.
Well, beautiful. I think it'll turn out all right. And I guess since we have an actual radio station, that's proof enough,
right.
I guess.
Didn't have that.
We're not totally crazy. Although I'm sure crazy people can get on here, too. For instance, the people who air an hour before us.
Indeed.
So, some cool things that happen at PAX. First of all, we did the show. It was absolutely awesome. We got a theater. It's 8 o'clock. It started way late and continued on way late. Let me tell you about 1UP. So 1UP has the very last session in that hall after us.
The 1UP people.
Some 1UP people. I don't know what they were going to talk about, but some 1UP people.
The ones that are left.
Things were like a half an hour late for us to start. Not my fault. Setup takes a while for my thing. It's a little bit different than just putting people on stage because we got the AV stuff running. And also. Everything had just been running late all day, right? So it pushes you back. And that happens every year. I don't know why we're not used to it yet. Plus, my event doesn't really fit in a single hour, which is something we've tried to resolve in the past. But this year I got an hour, not 90 minutes. So anyway, it started late. It ran late. The 1UP people, I told them, I said, bring in the 1UP. All the people waiting to see 1UP, just bring them in. They're like, oh, we can't do that because we'll have to kick these people out first. So they didn't want to do that. But the 1UP guys who were like the
Apparently
panelists.
Apparently people can't walk in and out.
Yeah.
Simultaneously.
Well, and I wanted to keep my people in and bring the other people in just see the end of my show.
I think they want to avoid the whole like bizarre like
whatever.
People moving around all the
they
time.
They could have done it. Anyway, so the 1UP panelist people are there like in the back in some chairs that hadn't been filled. And when we were done, like I explained to them, I said it started late and we went late and I'm really sorry, but you saw how much fun they were having and you know, I know we went really late and I just wanted to apologize to you because I don't, you know, I wouldn't like that happening to me. And anyway, I just tried to apologize as many times as possible in rapid succession. And, like, none of them were like, oh, dude, don't worry about it. No problem. They just gave me, like, sort of the silent nod, like, ass. Like, that sort of thing. It was funny.
Yeah. Well,
one guy was talkative and said he knew one of the answers to the questions that I gave. But
Only one of them?
I wouldn't even
right?
know.
If they're working for 1UP, they should know a majority
dude,
of those
Dude,
they
questions. Were not hard. They were not that hard. But
I think. Most of the questions were easier this year.
I brought
than
the questions here with
year.
Me, so if we want to go into some of them later, we can.
Yeah.
And I'll get the audio one day and post it online if anyone wants to hear the actual show. I like doing my shtick and making fun of the contestants and whatnot. Unfortunately, they had a projector shining in their eyes the whole time because their heads were just at the bottom of the projection screen.
Very nice.
Kind of sucked
That's
for them.
That's great.
Anyway, we only have a couple minutes left, and I certainly want to make sure that I give the appropriate commendation to the people who sponsored the show, because without them the show never would have happened. So I hate to do this, but I'm going to delay further Chatterbox simply to talk about the sponsors of the PAX event we did, which I haven't decided, by the way, if we're going to bring it to PAX 2010, the Boston PAX, whatever they're calling it.
I had a couple people actually asking about that already. I was like, dude, I don't know.
Is that like East Coast?
Because it's
West
in
Coast?
Like March.
It's in February, I think. And
I think it's
so
March.
It's winter in the Northeast,
regardless.
That's kind of not cool. What bugs me about it is that I have to mooch for free stuff again, and I try to limit doing that. Anyway,
yeah.
Speaking of mooching, here are all the people who helped. Atlas USA gave us a bunch of PSP and DS games. They were awesome. EA games, a whole bunch of inflatable swords and t-shirts and stuff. Pandemic Studios gave us a bunch of lighters. They had these 1941 replica lighters.
Those lighters are amazing.
Aren't they awesome?
They're like freaking sweet.
1941 replica Zippo lighters that are based, for some reason, based on the Saboteur game, which I'm assuming takes place in that time period.
Yeah, it's World War II.
They gave us a bunch of those. We gave them away. And actually, at the very end, we had a few left. And I, after the whole event, I went outside and we had to close early, right? Because 1UP really had to start. So I didn't finish it. There were still some questions left. So I said, all right, guys, we're going to finish up all the questions outside. We've still got prizes left. If you're interested, just meet us outside the hall. We'll be there in a few minutes and we'll do it. And we did. And it worked out great. And people won more prizes. I asked questions from last year. It was fantastic. We had a few of these lighters left over, like three left over, and they would have been the prizes for outside in the hall. And, you know, we packed up everything, packed up my my computers and the tub of games and stuff that we still had left over. And we went outside. When we got outside and opened up the tub, there were no lighters left. Three of the lighters got lifted. Nothing else, I think, got lifted, but just three lighters.
I think we should recruit a personal army to secure those lighters.
It was strange. But anyway, I told the guy at Pandemic that happened, and I think he was simultaneously upset and depressed.
Yeah. Whoever did that, you should feel embarrassed and ashamed.
Yeah. Anyway, so on top of those people, Penny Arcade, I also said, hey, Penny Arcade, I'm not sure if we have enough stuff, so it'd be cool if you could toss in a few things, too. They gave us this bin of like 30 things. I got the special press version of the first Precipice game on a credit card thing with a USB dongle on it.
Nice.
Did you get like Gabe's half-eaten sandwich or something?
No, I didn't get that. But we got like the PAX 2008 DVDs and the old comics that they made for Ubisoft that you can't get anymore. And they put in tons of games and like lips for the Xbox 360. Steel Series, they make these hardcore gaming things. They also bought the Z-Board company. You remember Z-Board?
Dude, the replaceable keyboard thing? Terrible.
Anyway, they gave me this like 15-button stainless steel World of Warcraft mouse. They gave us these awesome headphones.
Oh, I know that mouse.
Intensifier, I think we might talk about something like this later on the show. Intensifier, it's made by BGR Mods. It's this thing you actually put inside your Xbox 360 controller. It doesn't require soldering. It's like a prefabbed silicon thing.
To help you cheat in games?
Yeah, to help you cheat in games. They gave us a couple of those. NVIDIA gave us, what's the name of it?
A GTX 275.
896 megs of RAM, PNY brand. They gave us one of those.
Very nice.
Best prize card of the event. It was really fantastic. Club Namco, they gave us a bunch of t-shirts. I said NVIDIA, SteelSeries, I get all these guys. Good Old Games. They gave us a bunch of download codes for the Good Old Games website, which is GOG.com. Red Lynx gave us download codes for Trials HD, which is a fantastic Xbox Live arcade game. Trials HD, I think it's $15, 1,200 points. We also got Cave Story. People who make Cave Story, Nicholas Inc.
Nicholas. I've been beaten over the head many times for saying that name wrong, so now I know how to pronounce it.
All right, well, I probably picked it up from you. So Nicholas Inc., we got a bunch of... we're going to give away Cave Story through them. Who else? Oh, I said EA gave us t-shirts. They also gave us 10 download codes for Battlefield 1943 on PSN. It was fantastic. All those people made it happen. Oh, Control Freak, KONTROLFREEK.com. These cool things you attach to your Xbox 360 controller to make it better. Anyway, we'll be back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And I think, Alon, that you got cut off.
I actually did.
Had an even longer list. So we're going to spend the next 40 minutes announcing the remainder of our sponsors.
It's just really important that these guys understand how sincerely I thank them and appreciate what they did for us. Because the whole event, which was a lot of fun, wouldn't have happened without them. So all those sponsors we mentioned before were awesome. Also, while we were there, Privateer Press offered up some stuff. They do like those miniatures and things that you paint, you know, to play RPG-ish games. A Seattle-based comics place called The Dreaming Gaming and Comics. They give us some game thing. some like large. I couldn't tell if it was a board game or a card game or a RPG-ish thing, but they did. Also, Capcom gave us those cool t-shirts that everybody's getting these days, Resident Evil 5 t-shirts, where it's a normal t-shirt, but then when you flip it up to put it over your head so you can't see anymore, there's a face of a zombie on it, facing outward, so it's really painted on the inside of the shirt. Those are cool. And they give us some Tatsunoko versus Capcom towels, like the training towels, you know. I think that's about everybody.
Nice.
Sounds good to me.
If I am missing anyone, I apologize. I do want to the people right at the end who I barely got to stick in there was Control Freak. They called us earlier than anybody else offering stuff, so I wanted to just take a minute to appreciate them. Controlfreak.com with a K and two E's in Freak.
Did you accuse them of being control freaks?
No, not at all. But they have these little things. Rich, you got to see them before I went to PAX.
Yeah.
You actually stick them on your analog stick on the controller. You get, you know, they're sold in pairs. And so it makes the stick, first of all, if you'd rubbed it worn, it gives you a new fresh pad. But also it's much higher than the other one, which means the diameter of movement for the stick is now larger. So you have supposedly more precise control because you can move it, you know.
That actually sounds interesting. I think it sounds cool in theory. I wonder if it actually works in practice.
Well, Rich is the one who can tell you.
It's weird. Like at first when I first started playing with it, like it just felt weird because your thumbs are in a different spot physically.
Yeah,
and then after I started playing with it, like it just felt normal after a certain period of time. And
I'd be interested to try it.
You are able to do more precise movements as far as aiming and things go, because if you move it, you have a longer range of motion.
I'd like to try it with virtual on. Virtual on.
Yeah.
That one would seem like.
I'd like for them to bring back the Negicon, but that's a whole thing.
The Negicon was the answer to one of the questions in this game, and nobody got it.
I'm so disappointed.
No. Someone in the audience, the contestants didn't get it. The audience got Negicon. They didn't get the follow-up, to which the answer was JogCon.
Oh, yeah. The JogCon was a horrendous failure. But
really?
Negicon
it was
probably
forced feedback. Though.
One of the... Yeah, but no.
Imagine a forced feedback in Negicon.
No.
Yes.
No. See, force feedback is not really all it's cracked up to be.
I think it's good.
I think that for that to really work, you really have to be very industrial about it.
Right. Well, I am done with our PAX sponsors, but I am going to take this moment to also remember the Chatterbox sponsor, the radio show sponsored by University of Advancing Technology. UAT.edu is the website where you can go to learn about the programs they offer in terms of studying to be a game designer or game artist or something like that. So now that we've got all of that out of the way, we've got all sorts of things we could talk about this week. Ara, you want to talk about a fantastic drink.
Oh, yes. Right? I've been waiting for this moment for about a week. So apparently the Argentinians know how to pull pranks much better than we do, because
were the instigators Argentinians?
Yes. Well, okay. This happened in Argentina. So,
the guy who picked it up, who knows what news board he was looking at?
I guess. But here's what happened. Apparently, in Monkey Island, right, which has recently enjoyed a new release, has a drink in it called grog, right? And it's made of all these ridiculous things. It's a joke, right?
Of course, it's in game. It's
and,
crazy.
And they so the ingredients it's made out of are just so insane and so toxic that you could never hope to combine them and, I mean, even survive drinking an ounce of this, I think.
Yeah, some of the key ingredients that make it crazy.
We'll get to that in a second. All right. So here's what happened. A bunch of, I guess, teenagers, as a joke, as a prank, sent it's a TV channel called like C5NTV, which is somewhere in Argentina. And they said, oh, look, here's a recipe for a grog. And then apparently in that email, right, at the end of grog, there's a little smiley face with the drunk happy face, which is like an X and a D. And apparently whoever was a reporter for the for the TV station took it seriously and thought that it said grog XD. So they actually ran a TV spot on the local news.
That's where the XD came
about
from?
About it, yes. The XD is a smiley face. And so they're talking about this crazy drink now that teenagers are drinking. And they call it Grog XD because that's what they thought it was, right?
That's hilarious. And I did not know that that's where the XD came from.
Right. So they're now, and so they gave people the list of the ingredients. And they actually had some kind of expert on the show, which also took this seriously and apparently thought that people are actually drinking this. So what are the ingredients? Okay, so ingredient number one, kerosene. All right, yes, that's not toxic. Endulantes artificiales. Okay, maybe not so bad.
I don't know what
that
is.
I think it's like artificial ingredients or whatever. Acido sulfurico.
Sulfuric acid.
Okay, that doesn't
sound
too
good. By the
way,
the YouTube clip I saw had the translations of it.
Yeah, but this is more fun.
Okay.
Okay, ron con acetona. It's like acetone paint or something.
Okay.
Tinte rojo número dos.
That's red dye number two.
Yeah, it's, you know, I gotta have some of that. My favorite.
That's good for the fruit punch.
Grasa para ejes, which apparently means axle grease.
Okay.
And acido de baterías.
Great, battery acid.
Okay, so, yes, it's a wonderful concoction.
How could any person on Earth take this seriously. Like, if somebody just at random told another person that
this is the news.
Kids are drinking kerosene, battery acid, and axle grease, nobody would ever believe
that. Okay, so good point. So consider this, right? I've said this repeatedly in the past. Consider everything you see on the news that you know about and how wrong it is. The stories that you actually have knowledge about and how wrong they are about these things. Now consider everything else they report on and how wrong they could be about things you don't know about.
See, you know what I learn as time goes by? Those reporters are as unprepared as we are for every program we do.
That's right. Perhaps even more unprepared because they think people drink axle grease.
They're just pushing and guessing, trying to find stories that they can talk about without researching them properly. Very much like your favorite radio show hosts here at KFNX.
I would guess that most of the people know less about what they're talking about because at least we stay consistent with video games somewhere in that realm.
We stay on topic.
Like, somewhere we might be right about stuff we're saying.
Except when you talk about the Ultimate Edition to Dragon Age.
It's true.
Okay, so there's one other thing. I think we've got a few minutes left that I've been meaning to talk about that we haven't got around to it. Remember Play Switch guys?
Yeah, we talked to them on the show once. They were doing a game training thing online.
Right, so Game Switch was a really, really cool idea. They have a website. I'm sorry, Play Switch.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is also the name that I keep on screwing up because I don't know what Play Switch means.
Now, this is one of those ideas where we actually found a lot of people doing similar things, but these guys seem to push a little bit harder and try to keep it alive and make a better website than
the rest. Right. And it was actually really, really interesting. And one of their really cool hooks was that it's actually a live game market where you can submit offers for games like, oh, I want to sell a game, you know, so here's up for sale. And then Alon, you can say how much you'll pay for it.
Yeah, so there's a list of how much you're willing to pay, and then there's a list of how much people are willing to sell it for. And so you can see, well, someone's willing to pay $15. I was only going down to $16. Well, maybe I'll go down to $15, and then I know I'll sell it.
Right. So that was really cool because you could kind of just like see how much people were willing to pay and adjust prices and so on.
They called it the first ever game stock market.
Yes. Okay, so cool an idea. Now, interestingly enough, I've used this service in the past, actually, and it was kind of cool, but it was kind of hard to get people to actually agree on the price that I wanted for things because, well, I always, if I was buying something, didn't want to pay a lot at all. And, of course, people who were selling wanted to ask for a lot. And I think what happened was they probably found out that nobody's buying and selling anything because the ask and the bid prices would just never hardly ever converge. I mean, sometimes they did, obviously.
Well, you would think they would have to. That obviously, whenever you look at it, they're never converging because you're only saying the highest buy and the lowest sell.
Right, right.
And when as soon as they do converge, they disappear from the site.
Right, but here's the reason why I'm saying that, is because they've actually completely done away with that system, and you can no longer set the prices anymore. They set the prices, they're fixed prices, and you can only go worse for that price, whether you're a buyer or a seller. You can only exchange a worse price for the benefit of knowing about a potential trade sooner than everybody else, is what it amounts to.
What do you mean by worse?
So let's say the price for a game is $15, right?
It's $15.
Okay. So I'm a seller. I'm going to sell it for $15. I can say, oh, I'm willing to sell it for $14. And in exchange, everybody who says they want to buy this game will hear about my game that I'm selling an hour before everybody else.
What do you mean an hour before? I go to the website and I see whatever's available.
So now they actually changed it so that there's like a queue of people. And so depending on how low you're willing to sell it for, they put your position in a queue and they give out notifications hourly based on the order of that queue.
So I can't go to the website and just look at the price of a game?
You can. It's the fixed price.
So then how is it a question of earlier? I have so many questions.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre.
We'll be right back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And we're back, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Don't forget, if you want to call us during the show, you can. 866-536-1100. That's if you're listening live. If you're listening on a podcast, don't call, because you'll call some other show on KFNX. Unless you are listening to last week's at exactly the time we air live, in which case you're an idiot because you should be listening to the live one. You can talk to us live as well in our chat room. Go to chatterboxgameshow.com and jump in the live chat.
And you can be berated there instead of over the air.
Exactly. All right, so we were talking about Play Switch, and you said that you can show your price, which is cheaper if you're a seller, to someone earlier than they could see the normal price, except you can go online and see the price anytime.
It's all very strange.
That's for sure.
Yeah. The short and the long of it is that they set their prices.
Is there like a certain auction period where like, oh, you want this game? We're going to release better prices at this time.
No, like there's only the best price. You can only get worse prices than what they advertise.
When you're a buyer, lower price is better.
Right, or vice versa. Like, I think maybe it'll be easier if you want to pretend like give me a scenario and then I'll tell you what will happen and then that will make sense.
Okay, I want to buy Halo 3.
Okay, the price for Halo 3 is 14 S bucks.
Okay.
Okay. So now you have an option of raising the price in order to step ahead in this mysterious queue, which you don't know how long it is.
Oh, so there might not be one available for $14, but that's the price.
Right.
As soon as it is available.
Right.
Okay.
And so basically when there's a seller, when the seller says that they're selling something and a buyer like yourself says, oh, I want to buy this game, they automatically send emails according to some queue, and the price that you're willing to pay or sell at basically determines your place in the queue, and they give priority to the people who basically, you know, as a buyer are willing to pay more or as a seller are willing to sell for less.
Well, that doesn't sound so bad, but it does sound convoluted.
It's kind of lame just because I really loved just conceptually the idea of having a market and having people negotiate, but I guess that just wasn't working out for them because I can't think of any other reason why they would change it.
Yeah, the negotiation minus the transparency, that's difficult.
Yeah.
So
anyway.
On their website, though, they say they've totally rebuilt their site from the ground up based on feedback, and the major updates include better prices. There's now an initial starting price for each game. So that's what they call it, a starting price, not a set price.
Right, but you can only get worse than that. So yeah. It's really like... What I've found I've sold about 3 or 4 games in the past month, actually, this way. There's really, like, unless you really need that extra dollar or something right away, like, instead of next week, there's really no reason to do anything but just leave it on for the price and wait for someone to want to buy.
Well, they say you'll never see selling prices that are way too high or buying prices that are way too low. So that kind of takes some of the frustration out of it. So that I can appreciate.
Yeah, but I think that their prices are not as good. But then I was probably one of those people who was never willing to let my games go for an amount that people wanted to buy for.
Yeah, so. But you're probably doing better than if you went to GameStop.
Well, you're always doing better than going to GameStop. Yeah.
They say sell games at your own pace. There's faster and smarter game purchases. Skip line and early notice features. Earn tips, coupons, and free games and brand new user interface. Whatever. Easier interface.
So it's still not bad. It still works. It just doesn't have that
overall though, positive
sexy
experience
allure.
Too.
No, it still works. You know, I mean, it's still overall positive. It's just it's not as sexy.
You know what bugs me about this whole thing is that other radio show hosts do this sort of review session by going to the vendor, which in this case would be Play Switch, secretly, and deciding to do this thing that we call a review, but is really an advertisement, and then getting paid for it. And we didn't talk to them, and we didn't get paid to talk about their website for 10 minutes, and that bugs me.
And now that you said that, I wish that I'd gotten paid, but I guess we have to stay on.
This is our failure as business managers.
Got to get on that, Alon.
I just talked about their website 83 times. I even read the thing right off of their front page.
So send us your donations to keep us honest. Thank you very much, Chatterbox listeners.
All right. We've got plenty of time, I think, left in the show. You want to talk about some cheating?
We've got plenty of topics, yeah.
Cheating?
So we were talking about these controller devices. I don't know.
When were we talking about this?
When you mentioned the sponsors.
Intensifier.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the same type of a device that we're about to talk about.
It's similar. I mean, who makes the one that you're about to talk about?
I have no clue, but the story...
Extreme Mods is a company that... They're actually in town here, and they make... controller mods that are what you're about to describe.
So Extreme Mods is probably incredibly pissed off because what's happened is in COD 4, Call of Duty 4, they've released a new patch, which basically, I guess it's for certain guns. I'm not sure if it's for certain guns or what, but basically it limits your input to basically once every 0.5 seconds. And what that's done is that there's been a lot of cheating going around in that game where people have actually been able to press the button exceedingly fast, either because they're epileptic or they're using a cheating device. And so this is, and you know, you told me before the show.
But I thought you were saying that they're limiting it so that the cheating devices don't work anymore.
Well, they're limiting it so that the input is limited no matter what. And so now, at least with, you know, this gun, you can't fire more than once every half second, regardless. And so even if you have a special device, which essentially, let's say, effectively pulls the trigger, I don't know, like 30 times a second if you want, only two of those will register spaced half second apart because it's not going to accept any other inputs.
Yeah.
Apparently for a lot of casual players, I hate using that term casual, but I just did, nobody really cares, but apparently for people who really care about performance, this may piss some of them off.
Or people who cheat.
Especially if you're interested in cheating, then this will really piss you off. But I have absolutely no remorse, and absolutely I feel nothing but antagonism toward the cheaters. So,
which is funny because a good friend of ours, my old roommate, is one of those.
It's
every version of the controller.
And in fact, I'm all for a scorched earth policy to stop cheaters because all of you suckers started this, and now this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not actually sure Extreme Mods is the name of the company that I tried to mention.
That's okay. We didn't mention Kerosene XD. So.
Yeah, this that's funny. So this company that makes them, which is somewhere here in Tempe or something, they would actually modify a controller if you sent it to them, or send you a modified controller for like $180 was their Extreme Edition.
That is retarded,
isn't it? And Johnny Bottom, of course, he got the special deal. So now though, people are selling just the chip that you can install yourself. And this intensifier company, they gave us a couple of them to give away during the show. And I am not above giving away stuff. I don't care what it is, as long as it's not illegal. I gave it away happily.
I was just about to mention my favorite drugs.
I gave it away happily, knowing that I would probably talk about it with a little bit of smack. But they're also happy that I'm mentioning it. So bgrmods.com is where you can read about that. There was just this... I'm looking on some website, gamermods.com with a Z, and you can buy an actual chip, which looks like more of a traditional just square rectangle chip that you solder. But then this intensifier thing, it was weird. It was like this hollowed out thing. It was just a little strip of silicon, like four edges, like the outside of a rectangle with a little bit of other stuff protruding. And that you would actually sit on a controller and somehow like probably screw it in and it would make the contact with it. Like one of those contactless mod chips for the original Xbox. Remember that?
Well, it can't be contactless.
I'm sorry, solderless.
Yeah.
Yeah, not contactless here. Absolutely
magic!
Right. Absolutely right. So that was only $20, though. And I don't know if it did as much as the controllers that our good friend Johnny buys, but they certainly do stuff. And now...
Not so much.
I remember at E3 talking to the guys who make those dedicated controllers. They were saying it was like a cat and mouse game with
Right, you were telling me this before the show.
How... They would get it to do stuff that the game, like the programmers didn't even believe was allowed, like reloading faster than you were normally able to reload, even if you did it perfectly, or shooting faster than the gun allowed, stuff like that. So they were doing something with that controller just through the controller input, which baffles me, that was actually breaking the game. And so they're constantly trying to patch it. And then these guys would rewrite their code and then they'd patch again. But as a consumer, why would you buy something that you can't update? Right, without bringing back to the manufacturer of the controller,
right,
or of the mod, I wouldn't want to buy that because it'll just get patched out.
I don't know, but this cheating thing, I'm really curious to see like in other countries how much this happens because Dirt 2 came out today.
Dirt 2 did come out today.
Wasn't able to get it because apparently when they announced the release date, it means it comes out the next day, which makes no
released
sense.
Released like from the shipper. Date.
Look,
yeah,
on Best Buy they have a big poster and it had 9/08. Today. It's coming out today? No, it's coming out tomorrow. Okay, thanks, guys. All right, anyway, that's beside the point. The point is, when I was playing the demo the other day, already online, the demo, the game is not even out yet, and people are cheating.
I want to know how they're cheating at this driving game, though.
So now, admittedly, it's not certain if it's actually a bug or people are cheating, but apparently every once in a while, somebody gets a car that's just out and out faster than everybody else's. And so you can see this happening while because at the starting line, every once in a while there's a race where some guy, he just shoots off ahead of everybody else, like by a wide enough margin that it's so obvious.
That sure sounds to me like some sort of development error.
So
not something that I could do to cheat, unless there's a cheat code that they put in there and like it's only meant for single player, but they put it in multiplayer.
Some people are saying that people have found a cheat already. Other people are saying that that's actually a bug in the game where it actually, for some reason or another, gives one person the driving abilities of a car that you're not supposed to be able to use in the game.
That's possible. Or maybe they're running hacked versions of the game and they were able to edit some code
know,
or something.
I don't know, but it's ridiculous. Like, can we just not have the cheating? Like, is this too much to ask for?
Well, if it's a bug, you can't control it. You play the game and suddenly you go super fast.
No excuses.
All right. Well, we'll be right back. And during the break, I'll tell you that apparently Raiden 4 is out for the 360, which I didn't know about. Really?
Yeah, really.
All right. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox, video game radio.
So this is the time when I mentioned for the second time during the show that we have a sponsor, UAT.edu, University of Advancing Technology. Go to their website, learn about what they have to offer. I got to hang out with someone that I knew back from UAT while we were at PAX. You remember Nate Vig, the old co-host of the show before you, Ara? You didn't know about the show before then.
Nope, but I've heard the name.
Yeah, Nate Vig lives in Seattle now, working for the company that is producing MAG. Right.
Is that it's about magnesium wheels?
No, it's massively massive action game.
Massive action game.
Right.
Worst title ever.
It's like it's the SOCOM people making a SOCOM game that allows 256 players.
Why is there a trend? Like why are all video game publishers surreptitiously trying to shorten video game names?
I don't know.
Like what?
Dirt, wet, mag.
Is dirt
fuel?
An acronym?
No.
Okay.
Fuel? I mean, like, do you want me to keep going?
So you're upset that there are single-syllable names out there?
Well, I'm just like, why?
Mario?
I mean, I guess they'll run out. No, the game's not called
Baseball,
Mario. I mean,
come on. Soccer? Football?
Yes. We've gone back to the NES first generation.
I, for one, am very happy that I don't need to say John Madden's super happy twirl fun time football number 10.
Well, no, you don't have to do that.
Year of the Tiger edition.
You don't have to do that, but certainly you can come up with a more interesting title. I mean, they're going to exhaust all of these one-word names pretty soon anyway, and then they're going to have to come
up with it. There's very limited vocabulary.
Well, yeah, I mean, come on.
There are thousands of words in the English language.
Thousands.
Thank you.
Thousands even.
Thank you for that
one. So it's going to be a long time.
Yeah, but nobody's going to name
a game
Pumpkin.
At least Rich knows of thousands of words, yeah. That's for sure.
Look, nobody's going to name a game Pumpkin. Nobody's going to name a name Sewer.
All right, so
we're not going to have those games.
Before we move on to another subject, while I was looking around here on GameStop to check the actual release date for Dirt, which it didn't tell me because I think it's already passed.
It's today.
This game that is apparently pre-order ships today, but it doesn't say
also a
ships
one,
24
also
hours
a
yet.
One-word name.
Also, it's called Cubed, which we believe is just a compilation of Q Entertainment's Xbox Live Arcade games. I didn't even know that Rez was on Xbox Live Arcade. Did we know that?
Yeah, we
maybe,
knew
maybe
that.
Maybe I did know
we
that.
We knew that.
Anyway, Rez, Everything Extend Extra, there's some other E in there, it's E4, and Lumines Live, all on one disc for $20.
It's
you
probably,
know I love those.
Extreme.
Every Extend Extra Extreme?
Yeah.
God. I just made that up, but it's probably...
Talk about stupid names,
I'm pretty
right?
sure that's what it is.
So they should have just released four games called Every, Extend, Extra, and
okay.
Extreme.
Well, it goes to show you can have a stupid name with long or short.
Hey, how much you want to bet in the next year there's going to be a game called Just Extreme? Good bet, right?
Yeah, that is a good bet, yeah.
That is. So anyway, it also comes with Lumines Live, all on one disc for $20. Super exciting. I love those compilation things.
I don't even remember what our last bet was. But we made a bet.
I don't know, but it involves some sort of hamburger purchase.
Yeah, some sort of $5 bet that's not going to be consummated for the next 10 years.
Because we can't remember it. All right, so do we have something else to talk about
before
we end
the
show, or do we want to go into trivia questions?
Well, let me tell you guys a little story about something that happened up in Kirkland, Washington
Let's do it. Kirkland? Not near PAX?
I don't know. Might be, maybe not. But you know what company's in Kirkland?
No.
It's Bungie Studios.
Bungie Studios, yeah. Totally.
So apparently, this guy at the farmer's market sees somebody wielding a weapon on the street.
No problem with that.
Walking into
probably has a license.
Walking into Bungie Studios.
Certainly.
Right? Calls the police, says, hey, there's somebody carrying around an AK-47.
That does not look like an AK-47.
All right. So what happens, right? So the police go up to Bungie and they're like, has someone been carrying around an AK-47? And they're like, well, no, but we do have this model of a weapon from our game, which is larger than a person right here. Maybe it was this, right? And so, yeah, so they apparently... They apparently were walking around with this replica of a weapon from Halo, which is really like, I mean, it looks like it's about like 6 feet tall, maybe 5 feet, right? It's just enormous. I don't know why anyone would think it was an AK-47, but I guess that's the catch-all term for semi-automatic weapons you see from a distance. And so, yeah, so that was good times. The cops just said, yeah, try to be a little more discreet about the about
discreet.
It when you're transporting something like that.
So that we don't have to be called out here is all they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
so,
they're carrying a fake gun that's larger than a human. Like who looks at that and goes, that must be a real gun that they're planning to shoot somebody.
As long as they have Bungie video game studios on the side of the building, you're fine. But if they try to stay discreet themselves, then
yeah, so
that's what they get.
So it's good times. Yeah, would love to see the expression of the person's face who saw that, but we got a couple more things.
Dude, there were a lot of people walking around. There was some great cosplay at PAX.
I saw some
pictures. Full Team Fortress 2 team
with weapons, with large weapons.
Definitely with very very large weapons at some points. Some pretty good looking guns. There was a guy who I'm pretty sure was one of the bad guys from the Resistance game on PS3. What are they called? Do we remember?
I don't have a clue.
Cholera?
I think that's like a bacteria.
Not cholera. What's the thing when you've got like
aliens.
Two people inside of you, when you've got two sets of DNA in your own body?
Disgusting?
It's a cholera something. Somebody on the chat will know this.
I don't know what you're talking
Check
about.
Check on the chat. They'll
like
know.
Quato from Total Recall?
No, man. It's when people have two sets of DNA. It causes problems when you have kids.
All right.
Anyway.
So
what does this have to do with resistance?
Because that the same word that's used for describing a human with two sets of DNA in them... is the name of the aliens in that game.
Okay. So I got...
Check the chat. Somebody will know.
I got a couple other quick
Chimera.
Snippets here,
Chimera!
Guys. Chimera.
And he spelled it wrong, but regardless.
Whatever.
Okay.
Starts with a C.
Chimera is
That's
not
good.
Having two different sets
it
of...
It is!
Yeah, it is, dude.
Chimera
yeah, it is.
I mean,
it is!
It is, dude.
From
no, you're not going to win this one. It is.
Like,
it
from mythology and lore, Chimera is like...
And it
a
has,
multi-body
and
animal.
And it has a medical.
Fine,
like,
fine. That same word also used to describe a human being with two sets of DNA. Possibly any
that's
animal.
That's strange.
I don't know.
It's actually a medical term now.
Is it?
Yes.
Why
yeah.
would they use that as a medical term?
Ask the doctors. How the hell
in
do
mythology,
I know?
It probably has something to do with two beings in one.
Something to do
well,
with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like physically like a lion head
okay.
and
not,
a horse body.
I'm about 2 seconds away from getting Norm to shut your microphone off, right? Because we've wasted enough time on explaining to you what the word chimera means.
But I'm totally right.
Okay. I know what it means.
Even though I didn't know what you're talking about at first. Okay, so here's a couple of quickies, right? Apparently, this is another thing that we wanted to talk about but didn't really. There's a rehab clinic for internet-addicted people.
You know why we don't have to, it's like, I don't want to talk about this one because we've talked about this over and over.
No, but here's the angle, right?
Is
guess
there something
how,
key?
Guess how much the rehab costs.
Do you want me to guess? Because I know you told me
I
earlier.
Want you to guess and
Free.
Pretend...
$3.
Okay, so it's
Copay.
More. It's more than that for 45-day program. Okay, guys, you ready
000.
For this? $14,000.
Do you know what the program consists of? Not letting you play computer.
Right. Okay, so this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna open up a rehab clinic in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's gonna be called. Now this one is in Washington. It's $14,000.
Ara's House of Horrors.
It's called Restart.
That will get you off the
no,
games.
No, I'm gonna
fast.
Call this one Ara's Closet, and here's the program. You give me, you know what? I'll take $2,000. I'm gonna lock you in my closet for 45 days.
Okay. Well, is there gonna be a feeding
That's
hole?
It. That's it. You know, once in a while, you'll get like maybe I'll like open up a slot under the door. And I can pass you some gruel.
All
right.
I swear to you, all you need is a house with a shower and a lot of soap, and some prostitutes.
And you could give them the Grog XD.
There you go.
14 grand, you said?
14 grand!
You could surely get a live-in prostitute for less than that for 45 days straight.
That's $300 a day. You're paying them $300 a day.
To do nothing.
To not play games. Which is like, yeah, I mean, like, just go on a camping trip, for Christ's sakes.
That, yeah.
That doesn't cost as much. Okay, here's another good one, right?
Camping sites are often out of 3G.
So check this out. This is like the one of the biggest surprises, I guess, that I've ever heard of in any game developer conference. There's a really famous guy in Japan. His name is Yoshiyuki Tomino. And if you don't know who he is, he's actually the creator of Gundam. Okay, Mobile Suit Gundam.
But Gundam wasn't originally a game, for those of you who play the game Gundam, or one of the many Gundam games. Gundam started off as anime.
Manga, sure. Actually.
Sure, sure.
Whatever.
Sure. I'm just... Okay, so this guy gives a keynote speech, okay, at the Japan's CDEC 2009 Game Developers Conference. And what does he say in his speech?
Why don't you tell me?
I will. He says, "I think that video games are evil. Gaming is not a type of activity that provides any support to our daily lives, and all these consoles are just consuming electricity."
How is manga?
Yeah, though they, it doesn't they waste time, but they don't consume electricity.
Watching anime.
Let's say that we have about three people. He keeps going about this. Let's say we have about three people in this planet wasting their times, bringing no productivity at all, and 10 billion more people, and what would happen to our planet? Video games are assisting the death of our planet.
Wow.
Really?
This guy surely never tried pot.
Yeah, so I guess.
Man.
That's a good one. That's usually
See,
my
that
line.
That seems really strange. Like, I can understand that from certain people, but, like, he created, like, the largest
he's probably,
following.
Yes, he's
of,
probably responsible for wasting more time, like,
yeah.
per capita than most people.
Than
so
anyone
many
else
people
who hates video
wasted
games.
Time.
Well, yeah, definitely anyone else who hates video games.
You know what
games.
That means? He got too attached to video games. He got addicted. And then that mistress broke his heart.
You know what? I think so.
I
think maybe he has to go to the $14,000 rehab.
I'm sure he could afford it with all that manga money.
Yeah, maybe he needs to go twice.
All right. Well, we are clearly at the end of our program. I'm debating whether or not to put Treasure Box 2009 up for people to actually play. I resist that because I want to reuse some of the questions or maybe reuse the whole thing at PAX.
I wouldn't do it.
PAX Boston.
If you ask
Don't
me.
Don't post it.
But I'm biased.
If I had enough people request it over email or Twitter or something, I would.
Maybe for donations.
Yeah. By the way, Twitter, CBox Alon and Ted, or Rich, your nameless Ted.
Nameless Ted.
So anyway, we'll be back next week. Thank you so much for listening. Contact us if you have any questions. We'll be back.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.